This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello, I'm Brent Lindquist, and I'm interviewing a staff member of mine, a friend, Dr. Sherry Walling, who's a psychologist on staff here at LinkCare and also is a professor at Fresno Pacific University. We've been talking previously about perinatal mental health, which is the new word for postpartum depression, or the new label. And it kind of gets at the fact that some women will struggle with intense feelings like depression immediately around the birth of their child and afterwards. So we had talked in the first one about what it is and some helpful tools that husbands can use to help the mom. And last time we talked about depression in more detail and what that looks like and when to get help. And today we're going to talk about helping the family prepare for the birth.
Mm-hmm. It's been really neat for me, Brent, as I've started to get my son ready to mm-hmm. be a big brother. Mm. And we've done that through lots of discussions and books. Mm-hmm. We have some neat books where there are some images of what the baby looks like as it's developing in utero. Mm-hmm. And so we can sort of see, this is what little brother looks like now at 20 weeks. And this is what he looks like now at 30 weeks. Mm-hmm. And really gives him a sense of the excitement and anticipation of what's happening.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. What kind of questions does he ask?
Well, he asks a lot of questions.
Yeah. I mean, something that would be appropriate for family radio here.
Yeah, okay. He's asked some funny questions about, you know, when the baby comes out, will your stomach explode? So he's a little concerned about what's happening physiologically with me, and is this a big water balloon on my front that's going to explode and be scary?
Yeah.
So helping him understand a real basic principle of how the baby comes out has actually been important for him, so that he's not worried about me, mm-hmm. worried that I'm going to, you know, blow up someday.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, he's four, you said, and, mm-hmm. and those things are very important for him. And sometimes our tendency is to say, oh, don't worry about that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't help him.
Right.
Well, I don't know how not to worry. He doesn't have that in his repertoire of behaviors yet.
Right.
And so what you've done is really awesome, showing him pictures and showing him how this happens and everything. That's I really like that. I wish I had you as a coach when I was going through this.
I think kids are aware of more than we give them credit for, but understand mm-hmm. less than we give them credit for.
That's a great way of putting it.
They need a little bit more structure and help in understanding these changes in the family.
What are some pointers for the dad? You know, you got any additional ideas from the other programs?
Yeah, I think having some really clear conversations about expectations after the baby is born is really important, and that can be an important protective factor or something that prevents the development of depression in mom and probably dad too. Mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. you know, that first week, who's going to do the laundry? Who's going to cook? Is it going to be dad, or are they going to get some help? So making dad part of the plan as much as possible is really important. I think also having some expectations or shared expectations and conversation about what happens during birth. Mm. What is mom hoping dad's role will be? What does dad want? Does dad want to help? Does he want to catch the baby? Does he want to cut the cord? Is he a shoulder guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are important conversations to have, because it's dad's transition too.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were important for me. I was a shoulder guy. I passed out during the tour of the hospital. So,
oh, no.
You know, it was wondering if I was actually going to be let in there. But, I like that a lot, that we need to talk about that. Talking about the obvious, I mean, stuff that you think about, it's the obvious stuff that gives us the most grief. Because, I just thought, how could you think that? Well, I don't know. We didn't talk about it. So that's another good point. I would wonder many times, the extended family is involved. which is a nice code word for mother of the mother or mother-in-law of the mother. And how do they fit in? You got any gems here to share with us about that?
I think that's an important conversation, especially those first 2 weeks. That should be a pretty sacred time for this new, really fragile family. And I'm of the opinion that nobody should be there who's a stressor. And if mom is going to come or mother-in-law is going to come, again, what's her role? What's the expectation? Is she going to be back in the bedroom while mom is nursing baby, or is she really the kitchen captain where she's going to be cooking and making meals? Help her understand what her role is if she's going to be there to help.
Or childcare provider.
Yes. And you know, if dad really isn't thrilled about having mother-in-law, then maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe there's somebody else who could be in that helping role.
Wow. There's guys all over the world thinking, oh, how am I going to approach that one? Well, we don't have to have all the answers. We can leave something.
That'll be a special that you can do later.
Ooh, wow. Walk into the line of fire on that. That's good. Now, what are some things in your, as you've observed, where, you know, somebody probably could have done things a little bit different in terms of information, activities, you know, things like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think for some people, not allowing themselves enough margin in terms of what they expect from themselves, whether it's going back to work or being alone with all of the children, building some flexibility into that, I think, is really important. Some women are ready to go back to their full activities after 4 weeks. Some are ready at 6 weeks. Some need longer.
And so, some have 5 days.
Right.
Because of the circumstances.
Because of the way that life is set up.
Yeah. In a context that most of the people that are hearing this, they're probably working in work-related teams. That is, you know, they may have this work-related task that they're together, but also they tend to be very social together, too. They probably are more connected than you or I with our particular work-related things. And so, you know, I think on one level that could be a strength because, hey, this could be a really phenomenal time of a team member helping with childcare or some cooking. Any thoughts about how close friends and coworkers should be approaching all of this?
I think offering is always wonderful and not being offended when people say we're okay.
Ooh, that's a good one. Not being offended when your offer is not accepted.
Yeah.
That is so true because then we tend to take it personal and it may not be anything. It may just be, well, I need some time off. But maybe, here's an idea. You can try this out. What if instead of saying no, thank you, you say, no, not right now. Let's talk about this next week.
Yeah.
Because then the person feels like, well, I'm not rejected for the whole forever.
Right. You're not kicked out.
Just a week. And you really may need help in a week and not need it right now.
And I think it's important for people to just use their best interpersonal skills and read those cues. You know, dropping off a meal is a fantastic way to serve a family who's just had a baby. But maybe don't plan to stay too long. And don't expect to hold the three-day-year-old. I mean, maybe you'll be offered and that would be wonderful, but maybe not. And so I think just really minding those cues is important.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Probably not a lot of jokes at times or gauge things. Cues. I would think, wow, cues. There are cues in interpersonal relationships, aren't there? Man, we have to remember that.
We should talk about that, Brent.
Yeah. You're saying that I need help with that? Oh,
I wouldn't say that.
Well, we've been talking. We had this delightful time, Sherry and I, on talking about perinatal mental health and how to take care of yourself, how the family can take care of each other. And basically, in some ways, there are unique issues and challenges, the transformation in the mom, all the hormonal changes and the role and status change. But on the other hand, there's some good underlying stuff, talking about it, not leaving anything out of the agenda, making sure you're covering things, working through the obvious, working through the not so obvious, being willing to talk about the things that are problematic and hurtful. That sounds good for any relationship. There you go. And I hope this was helpful, and we'll talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further, We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.